Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor coming up here. I'm still amazed. Did you hear that coming in about our BMIs? We did our height and weight thing and Todd figured out.
It was
exactly the same.
Congratulations on
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah. That's nothing to be congratulated about.
It's good to have
congratulations.
Goals. It's good to have goals in life and achieve them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin.
I should say, I said to Johnny, okay, let's set a new goal then. 25%. Which is probably where you guys are at. And John's like, that could be 2 years.
It could be. That's a lot. That's a lot of
anyway, so
fat to
probably got to think Pella first.
Yes. Right. Windows and doors. Incredible deal going on at Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. Pay as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door next month. This is really something cool. They complete the installation with no mess, no hassle, leaving nothing but absolutely perfect results. Once again, as low as $18 per window, $81 per month at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This ends on the 31st. Visit PellaWI.com. Call them for a free in-home consultation. You can't do any better than Pella Windows and Doors.
Love them.
Joined by a couple of guys that moving into the time of year, they're going to be extremely, extremely busy, but for a very good reason. High school athletics. We got Brian Miltz and Tim Marquardt. High school officiating and recruitment. Gentlemen, you know, I do the high school games, been around with it for a long time. And I talked to some of these guys. We always talked to them before the games. And, you know, some of these guys have been doing it for lots and lots and lots of years. And I think, you know, the end is in sight for some of these guys being out there on those cold Friday nights running around out there. Do you have a reserve? Do you have the bullpen? Do you have a, you know, hold another group of young up-and-comers to take their places?
We're working on it.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, John. Thanks for having us on
you
this
bet.
Nice blustery day out there. So,
don't you think this is blustery?
It was. I was
thinking it's
fall.
Come on, Brian.
Thank
right
you.
There.
Thank
Brian,
you.
Blustery is, okay, I'm going to talk to my man, Tim. Blustery, what is that? If somebody said it was blustery out, let's say you just got dropped off somewhere in a dark room. They said, hey, it's blustery out. What would you think?
Well, your hair's got to be blown back. You got to be trying to keep your ground, not getting push back.
That's exactly
and
what it was.
Temperature?
Oh, cold.
There 60, you go, Johnny.
61. Wind chill of 42. Hi, Brian.
Good. Hi.
All right.
How was it, Marquette?
It was wonderful.
Your
was
daughter
wonderful.
Goes to school there, right?
She went up to swim camp. She actually goes to East High School right now, and she went up to swim camp up at Northern, and this is the second year in a row she went, so it's fantastic
that's cool.
Up there.
Great school, isn't it? Or great community.
We're looking forward to it.
Yes.
So, a winter in Green Bay.
Did you go to Negaunee?
No.
Oh, no.
Wow, what was that?
I'm just kidding, John.
It's like, why?
Oh, okay. It was great.
Is she on the swim team?
She is.
Yeah,
for Green Bay United, it's a winning team. They do well with it. So at the four high school graduations this year for Green Bay, two of the speakers were Green Bay United swimmers. So I'm really proud of that.
What a great, and to be a lifeguard is a great job. Even when they go to college, they need lifeguards there. And everybody's like, well, that's just a summer job. And that's really not. There's a lot of indoor, the Tundra Lodge needs lifeguards. And that's just a nice side hustle for kids.
She got her first benefits from the city check. So, or, you know, she was working for the city. So she got her $12 towards her retirement, which I told her,
all right.
When you're 72 years old, you're going to be
love
all
it.
Set with that. So
great.
Good for her.
So go ahead. Tell us the state of officiating this. Because it was almost critical a couple of years ago, wasn't it? I mean, some games were postponed or whatever to get crews.
Yeah, it's still tight. We've gotten a couple new officials coming in, which is great. We're members of the Green Bay Officials Association. So WIA officials have the opportunity to join us and help us. We help them get mentored and just kind of figure out how to officiate and provide training for it. So we haven't heard of any games being canceled yet. We've got a couple guys with availability, but most of the time, if you lose a crew, you're really hustling to figure it out.
Right.
So,
and a lot of those guys only want to work with their crew.
Yeah.
Don't they though? I mean, you know, some of these older guys, it's.
Yeah. Certainly as they get older, they start being more selective in what they're going to do, and they'll pick,
right.
You know, they'll pick games where they're going to be comfortable. And that a lot of times means they're going to stay with the same crew and not venture out with some of the new folks.
So, and part of it may be for the social activities after the game.
You get to know the guys on your crew pretty well. So yeah, which is
well,
helpful.
I think that's awesome, right?
It is.
I mean, don't you kind of work to get with, you know, you kind of put in time to be
absolutely.
With people you like. So I think that's great.
Wait, there was a guy that came on our Brewers trip a couple of years ago, longtime official in the area. And his wife was like, oh, forget about what he's saying. He said, oh, I love the games with these kids from so-and-so. Just, they just had such a great time afterwards.
Post-game.
So yeah, game.
The NASO, the National Association of Sports Officials, has done a big survey last year. And one of the main reasons that officials continue in the game and come back is because of the camaraderie of the other officials.
Exactly.
We're the third team on the field.
Got a good text here. Good to hear the voice of my former teaching colleague, Brian Mills, from Terry.
Yeah.
But when you study just life in general, having a social network is very important to people when they get older. I mean, you want to eat healthy and all that other stuff, but you know, it can be a church group. It can be, you know, a trivia group, but you know, what you're talking about is really important, and that's an opportunity for people to get a little bit more socially interacted with each other.
A connection. And as independent contractors, one of the nice things about it is you can get into it as far as you want to get. So, you know, guys like us are working 3-4 days a week sometimes. There are others who say, hey, you know, I'm going to do one and done this week. But, you know, and maybe it's Friday night, maybe it's not. Some folks like the bright lights. Some folks would rather work, you know, something that's
the freshman game on a Wednesday or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and the flexibility with it, in years past, I've worked Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturdays. And
wow.
But this year with, like I said, with my daughter swimming on Tuesdays, the next 2 years, I'm not doing any middle school games because I'm going to go watch her swim on Tuesdays instead. So the games will be there when we come back, obviously. So you can have that variance with it for football. Same with the other sports, with basketball and everything.
When they look at recruiting talent, young talent, you know, and that flexible schedule is really, really important. And, you know, you have your daughter swimming, but other people have other things they'd like to do. And if you can work around that, I mean, that's really attractive to people. I don't know what you, but
it's
you
a also, nice little but, check on the side.
Right.
Too.
I'm going to say it's a little, everybody needs a side.
I use it for my mushroom business. So I figured out I'm going to be,
you better too? Not. You better not.
Oh, sorry, John. Sorry.
His mushrooms are legal, John. Okay.
So yeah, bottom line, nobody's going to get rich officiating. And I think most people understand that, but it does add a little bit. And, you know, you get a little exercise, you get camaraderie, and it's great for a lot of folks. I got into it after coaching. So I coached for a long time. Thing about coaching is when every day they're practicing or every, you know, that's set, you got to be there. As an independent contractor, as an official, you can pick
and choose a little bit.
And if next week I got a lot going on, I don't have to
do it. You made a good point that the money isn't the primary, but I mean, the socialization, but then to get exercise in. Like I want to be a mailman because that's a job where you know you're getting your steps in, you know, and that's important. And we sit here and drive a desk for 3 hours and look at us, our BMI is like crazy.
Well, what I like about
speak
it
for
is
yourself. We're tied, John.
You don't think about it either. So when I'm on a basketball court or football field and there's a play and I'm just going, it's just instinct, right?
Right.
If I go out and start jogging, my whole time my mind is thinking,
I hate this. I hate this. When am I done?
Next
corner. How much longer before I'm done?
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point.
And it's amazing. We have some guys who, you know, use their smartwatches or whatever, and they track how much they're on the field.
Somebody steps and stuff.
Well, and then you see the global shot of it. So you just see the line
back and forth,
and over and back and forth, you know, so it's fun
that's
to see
cool.
how many.
How, I know you guys have taken some strides, and actually in football, high school football, you're so far away from the action and everything like that, but there was one game we did last year where I believe a guy was removed. The game was stopped, and he was removed from the stands because he was causing so many problems amongst just people around him and other parents and just disruptive, and they stopped the game. The athletic directors.
Coach McCarthy?
No, it wasn't Coach McCarthy at the high school game.
I do remember that.
But you guys are getting a lot more, okay, you mess around here, we're not going to put up with it, right?
Right. Well, that's game day administration. A lot of the times in the fan, you know, in the stands for football, the athletic directors will take care of that. But we're lucky in this area because we have so many officials from this area that we rarely have issues.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of issues like that, but they are there. And there's clearly an effort nationally and with the WIA to stop behavior of adults typically. More often than not, being abusive or foolish about what they're doing in terms of interacting with the game.
Even the language they use now is red flagged right away, isn't it?
That's good. So the sports, where's your biggest need? I mean, if somebody wrestled or if they basketball, football,
We cover 5 sports in the GBOA. So we have volleyball, football, basketball, and then softball and baseball.
Oh.
So I don't want to not represent. I don't have information on those other sports, soccer and wrestling stuff. I think the need is generally across the board. You can find plenty of opportunities to get involved in the game if you have any interest in it. We have a pretty good spread on our two big football and basketball are our two biggest sports. I would say softball, baseball are, you know, you talked about folks looking a little bit older and stuff like that. I mean, we, our numbers there, we don't have as many youth. We're starting to get some youth into basketball. We had a great connection with the UWGB intramurals program for a while that helped bring in some youth. And we get that a little bit in football, but all sports could use a infusion of youth and diversity. I mean, we're terribly flat in terms of being old, fat, white guys.
But you know what?
Speak for yourself.
I am.
He was, yeah. So was I.
The one guy in shape here.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, Brian.
How about if somebody hasn't, if somebody's listening, they have an interest in this. There's a training program that goes with it. Tell us so that you're not intimidated, because, I mean, that's, spotlight's on you a lot.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm really proud of with the GBOA is we've really stepped up. We've always had training and you know, kind of informal mentoring. We're getting better as an association at trying to make sure that we have formal mentoring available for folks, that we have training programs. One of our football guys has done a fantastic job of doing some videos, watching game film. I mean, film is a huge tool that's available now to try and help us get better.
Why are there so few, maybe I'm wrong in this, but it just seems like there's so few guys that go from coaching into officiating.
We actually have, I can think of three guys that I've recruited that were former coaches that have gone into officiating. And it's part of it's you're looking at the game completely different.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just the speed of the game and what you're watching is different. But yeah, I've stolen a couple coaches that I've worked with to officiate. The other good thing,
because every coach thinks they could be a great official, right?
They help from the sideline a lot of times.
I saw that. Well, you shouldn't have been watching that. So thanks for helping out. But the other thing that we've worked on and are focusing on this year is getting high school athletes that might be out of season. So we have a gentleman that's joining us from football who played for a couple of years. Just it wasn't for him, but he's going to get into officiating. So if you're a great basketball player, or, you know, the main thing is character we're looking for. So I'm reaching out to the ADs to say, okay, if you've got a basketball player that is a pretty good person there and has a sound judgment and can come in, we'll get them in for football doing non-varsity.
And women can rep the men's games. Absolutely. Like, I know we're doing that better in the NFL, and that's awesome. Yeah. It's just great.
Do you guys stick around?
Yeah.
All right.
Brian Miltz, Tim Marquardt talking high school officiating and recruitment. Back after this.
You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome, Mine on the Mayor here, 7:20 in the morning, 61 degrees across the board, Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. We got Ben and Deanna Malcourt coming up. We got Nina Sperano from NBC 26, Stephanie Hummel from the City of Green Bay, and Cody Krepplein talking about a big veterans project he's working on this week. But back to this with high school officiating and recruiting. Jim, you had the question you wanted to ask them right off the bat here.
About people that have an interest in coaching and not making a commitment. I just want to learn more. You know what I mean? Sometimes people don't want to call because it's like, well, that means you want to do it. Right.
And see how it goes.
Or come watch a game or whatever. But tell me if someone is interested. And it doesn't have to be someone young, a male, female. They can be maybe looking for a little side hustle, working here during the day, but love sports.
We have a lot of folks who realize as they get into, you know, latter ages and their kids are out of the house.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they were involved in coaching with youth and something. Those are oftentimes our primary folks who come out and say, hey, you know, maybe I'd be interested in doing a few hours a week and get started. They may know the sport, may not be up on the current rules, but they're great candidates, and they're looking for a little exercise. So it's a win-win.
I think it is. I coached sixth grade football. Do I qualify?
Yeah,
sure. Well, put you in the middle. I got a middle school game. We're looking for an umpire right in the middle. So just
I'm a firm believer of them. I was always a catcher in baseball and fast pitch softball. Nobody knows the ball or strike better than that catcher. That's the only perspective that is really perfect, isn't it, though?
They can keep it squared in.
Frame it.
Frame
it. Yep. Whole thing. But the catcher knows more than the umpire, really and truly, if that's a strike or a ball.
So you're going to listen to him.
I tried umpiring softball once with some of our guys that are in our association that work football with us. And I could not do it. And I wasn't behind the plate. I was on the side.
Yeah.
And just the mechanics of everything.
Absolutely.
So everyone's got their specialty area. So
my challenge would be I couldn't distance myself from the game. Like, I'm a fan. And we're talking to Scott Vincey. He's a reporter for the Press Gazette. And
sure.
He just really stays removed from the game. And I'd be throwing my pen down, you know, if I'm writing the story. But that's part of it. You have to have the right.
That's a key part, yeah.
A key part.
So. You know, a lot of times
controlled
people,
passion.
Exactly. Well, and rational detachment with
yeah.
it. But
yeah, rational
a lot
detachment.
A lot of the times, not often, but, you know, when coaches or fans are telling us we're really vested in the game, once we leave, I don't know what the score is. You know, and after it's, I'm really
every
not
plays
concerned
its
about
own
your
play.
Seventh grade football game that much.
Yeah. How would you recommend somebody to kind of put their foot in the water and test it?
So, an easy way to get information is our website, gboa.org, real simple. And we do come up on Google searches. I'm not sure how many sites we follow. But anyhow, gboa.org talks about our association, gives you insight. You can join the association on there. And the other one is the WIAAWI, so .org. Org, also, yep. Yes, I had to think about that. Anyhow, they have a whole piece of information there that you can go on and see about officiating and, you know, what does it mean and how do you get started. But
what sports need it the most?
I'm not sure I can.
I would guess from what I've seen, the sports are more technical, and if you have an experience in them, it's going to be helpful. So wrestling, I talked to wrestling officials, and there's
if you don't know wrestling, don't,
you don't know
even
wrestling,
try. You got to know that sport because I wouldn't have a clue.
But the sheer number of games, I mean, there's a lot of baseball and softball tournaments going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of basketball tournaments going on. So whatever you're comfortable in will help put you into a spot with it. The other thing that we do with the association is we mentor our officials coming in. So if you're a new official and you're looking at doing football, I'm going to get you into our non-varsity games, our middle school games, but I'm going to put you with a really good crew. So I'm going to put you with the white hat that's knows that they're going to be mentoring you in, and it helps everyone out with it. So that's one of the benefits of going through joining our association. If you become an official is we'll make sure we get you scheduled in those spots and have someone kind of looking over you.
You know what I'm surprised at in the NFL and even college football? Is some of these, okay, you got, you know, a 64-year-old guy running downfield trying to keep an eye on two guys that run 4.240s, okay? Why aren't more professional college athletes going into that? I think that would be such an amazing talent group with how they know the game, how they can move out there. Just can't get those guys though, huh?
We have a few of those guys, actually. Yeah, and I would say, you know, basketball and football, we have some folks who are coming out of having been, you know, players not all that long ago, and they're great candidates. And
they
do very well. We've had a number of young ones actually get to, like, state-level games because of the, you know, their ability to cover the court or field is, you know, incredible.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you guys are here today. And we had you on the show last year, too. But I don't think people really know that's a need. I mean, yeah. I've never been to a game that's been postponed or canceled. And I think, you know, that's sometimes how you get the message out.
Well, the reason you haven't been is because they were postponed or canceled.
And they've been close. I mean, there's been times where I'm getting last minute calls. Tim gets them.
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm glad you're here because I think people, this sounds like I think this would be a lot of fun. I couldn't do it. I'm not that.
It can be.
Detached.
But some folks have trouble separating the fact that somebody wants to yell at them. Too. So it takes, as Brian mentioned, I think earlier, your personality type, you need those folks who can pull away and not personalize the fact that somebody said, you know, you're stupid, you didn't make the
I wouldn't
call.
Personalize so, it if I was out there.
Well, maybe,
I would not call 10 calls in a row against that guy's team. I would not do that.
So we need people selling hot dogs and stuff too, John. So,
but if you need someone who, you know, has been called stupid, doesn't know what they're doing, if they were in politics, that might be a good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good feeder.
Yeah. 20 years of that, right. So I can do with the fans. I really think that, and you said that, Brian, about the what did you call it? Professional detachment, irrational detachment, and I don't know how you test for that, but I'm a fan. So
I've been at some basketball games where I would have tossed people. There's been fans where I would, and I'm in the broadcast booth or on the court side, and it's like I'd toss him.
And that's a sport where
or her.
That's a sport where they're a lot closer.
That's what I mean.
Things are much quicker. And it can get real personal real fast.
Exactly.
And we've had a number of our officials have had to stop games and have game management deal with something to
like I said, that's half that football game we were doing last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a big playoff game. It wasn't like, you know, whatever. It was a playoff game.
Yeah. I was watching my daughter's band play at one of the basketball games, and it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was a decent-sized crowd, and friends with the officials that were on there, and I was shocked that they could put up with. It wasn't even so much, like, rudeness, just how close they are. And at that point, I think I mentioned to you, Tim, there is no way I'd be doing varsity basketball. Just my personality-wise, I know that way, part of it, but
certainly way different than football, but I want to go back Jim, you asked about the sports, and we mentioned wrestling. I can also mention that even though it's not in our association at this point, lacrosse is a new sanctioned sport for boys and girls in the state of Wisconsin. It had been outside the WIA realm, and it got added this year. They had their first state playoffs and tournament this year, and I know that's another area that, you know, it's not something that as many of us are familiar with. So it's a growing sport, but there's one that, especially if you have some experience or played or something like that, that's another sport that could really use an infusion of talent.
The other way to find more information, if you're at a sporting event and you see a crew that you feel is doing a decent job about it, talk to them. You know, ask them, you know, just questions at the end of the game. If there's still, you know, varsity games is a little more difficult to get to them, but talk to an official and we'll put you in contact with and answer your questions.
I just think that sounds just like a great side job. I think, you know, I wish my personality was more akin to that, but that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean,
we can get him scheduled next week.
Yeah,
just think about the exercise, the camaraderie, and plus, you know, you're around young people. That's always good for your psyche. So, yeah, well, thanks for what you're doing. You make a lot of people happy pretty much every day of the week.
We'll get Todd the info on
right, and we'll get this on our website.
We'll get props in this.
And most people are very good to us. I don't want to misrepresent that.
No, I don't.
You guys are awesome.
A couple of jerks can...
Most people appreciate it.
But you know what? They don't just ruin it for you guys. They ruin it for everybody in the arena or whatever when you have that. So I'd say give them the hook.
A lot more good people, though.
All right, thanks.
Tim, Brian, thank you both so very much for what you do for our youth sports around here.
Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. You bet. Grab some cookies on your way out.
Yeah, we don't need them.
All right. Ben and Deanna Malkerr will be joining us next. Stay with us.
And the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Very special thanks to a couple of great guests, Brian Mills and Tim Marquardt, high school officiating and recruiting. They're going to give us some information where they're having almost like a workshop type thing and everything. And I think it's great. And you know what? Like we were talking, a lot of these guys, God bless them on Friday nights. And part of it is the camaraderie. They just enjoy getting together with their guys. But, you know, they're not going to last forever. And you got some of these younger athlete types that could take their spots. I think that would be a good push to really try to get them involved.
Yeah, the whole society's like that, right? I mean,
Could you be a wrestling official?
Again, I think my problem is I'm a fan. I don't know that I can have that emotional detachment, you know, because I'd get into it. And if I liked the kid, you know, I'd like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I'd be, come on, I want you to win, especially if he was from Two Rivers. You know, I don't know that I could.
So not impartial.
At least you're honest, Tim.
Two Rivers is taking state in wrestling. I
guy's not that good. Well,
wow.
And you're also one guy. It's not like a team, right? Yeah. I mean, the ref is out there. But anyway, I think that's... Well, plug for that. I think that's a great... We're all looking for a little side hustle. Some people are greeters at Walmart. But, I mean, to go out there and camaraderie with other people that care about youth sports and...
It's fun. There's nothing better than Friday night football, is there?
Oh,
nothing
awesome.
Better.
Amazing.
Just amazing.
And they get paid.
I miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bet you do.
That's great.
Yeah. What was the last... Your son's last year in high school?
Well, they won the 2015 state.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
It was an amazing year to be a senior year, one of the captains. And
Yeah. He never left the field.
No.
I mean, he was defensive tackle and then he was offensive center.
Wow.
And so he was on the
field. That was with, was it Panini? What's the running back's name? Not
Vinny. Vinny Pellini.
Pellini.
You're thinking lunch already.
Yeah, I know, right? Panini.
You go right from cookies to lunch.
I know. Yeah, that was a fun team to watch and cover.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Oh, it was fun.
Yep.
They were just the underdogs all the way.
Yes,
so just
absolutely.
Every game was just right down to the nail-biting end. It was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was
I think
cool.
We still think about it more than the kids probably
do. We do.
I was going to say that nail-biting was like... Was it a lot of those games? For the fans, too, it was nail-biting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence in that little team.
Yeah, yeah. They were the team. They just the team that could. I mean, they just came in as the underdog and nobody thought they would win the game and they would take it right at the end. Yeah. It's just
that was incredible.
Amazing.
Great magical run. Yeah. So what's going on in the world of real estate, Ben and Deanna?
Well, there is lots. I mean, we've got a lot. We were trying to narrow down.
It's in the news
today.
In a lot of different ways.
It is. And you know, we've got some big things to kind of talk about, you know, towards the middle of August and kind of, you know, addressing some of the NAR lawsuit, you know, thing that is out there, because I think if people have a lot of questions, and I think there's some misconceptions just from what you hear on the news.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And the thing is, having been in the news and having been in real estate, in news, you got to try to condense it as quickly and small as possible to bite size pieces.
In their defense, the amount of time. Yeah. A buyer's agreement. I mean, that's hard to. Some realtors don't get that right on the test.
You can't break that down in a hurry.
Well, I'm saying you got 2 minutes, maybe three,
You've
to do a story.
You've got to build confidence. Yeah.
And all people hear is lawsuit.
And
I know.
Honestly, you said 2 minutes to three. It's probably a minute, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
10 seconds
it
for the
is.
Intro.
Yeah.
That's
so
a little.
We definitely want to address that, you know, probably in maybe two weeks from now.
Well, and there's some things that could change, you know, not ever so slightly, but we
can
need
you
to
just explain a little bit what we're talking about if people haven't been following it.
Again, in a minute, 10 seconds, explain buyers.
Yeah, exactly. That's the honest truth.
I am just going to say it's not as bad or as good as you think it's going to be.
Well,
somewhere in the middle.
Deanna likes Two Rivers. Start
there.
You got a minute, 10 seconds to explain buyer's agency.
I know. I'm not even going to go there in that amount of time. That's the problem.
But that is the big issue now. And
it is.
Things.
Yeah.
It's really not as big of an issue, I think, as everybody thinks, you know, because of the stories that they've heard. A lot of it is just, you know, practices that need to happen. And negotiation, you know, a little bit deeper into negotiations on, you know, commissions and incentives that are paid. So,
but that's always been done.
It's always been done.
This is the honest truth. When I was a realtor, I never took the full commission because about 90% of my people were veterans and young veterans.
Oh, sure.
And I always took a point off. Yeah. I remember like the last one I did, it saved him like $1,200.
Yeah.
But you know what? I got return business from it then too.
Well,
you know,
that's
so
just
it's kind of a give and take.
I think it's more about being transparent, you know, with your clients, no matter what side they're on, and explaining the process to them. So we're the same way.
Well, and in Wisconsin, our contracts are written exceptionally. I mean, we've got the legal department at WRA does an exceptional job of laying out the right language in these forms. And in that NAR lawsuit that was as a result of another state, obviously different state forms, something probably wasn't written as it should. But
everybody gets painted with that same brush.
Everybody's going to get painted with the same brush.
And I guess that's probably the biggest message for, you know, no matter what party you are in our contracts, you are very well protected within our contracts. You really are. So it's just a matter of being able to kind of explain it to your clients.
Okay, you're talking when we first came in about contingencies.
That's
a fun word to say.
Yeah.
Do they still have them these days?
They do.
Can you still get the offer taken care of with a contingency?
Honestly, they're coming back.
Okay.
So, and there's many contingencies. And one of the first ones that, you know, we come across, we'll kind of skip the whole home sale contingency because that's a whole show on its own.
Different animal.
But kind of the first one that they're going to come across is the inspection contingency.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And the usual, if someone includes the inspection contingency in their offer to purchase. And first and foremost, we would never tell somebody not to get a home inspection. You know, we always encourage people to do that.
Because if it goes south, they'll say, my realtor told me not to get one.
Yeah.
So we do that. And it's usually a 15-day period where you can get the inspector into the property to look at the property. That goes for commercial or residential, and just take a peek and then talk about potential repairs.
And that 15-day includes any negotiations on repairs as well, too. So
I have to ask this on contingencies. What about the contingencies as far as the loan contingency these days? When something, you know, if a bank appraises something for just $250,000, and the only way you're going to get that is if you pay $292,000, the bank's not going to give you that extra $32,000 or whatever, are they?
No.
Where does that come from?
That's negotiated. Really. Yeah. I mean, it really is. And those are two different contingencies. So there's financing contingency and there's appraisal contingency.
Right.
So they are separate. And it's something that, you know, we have seen in the past, buyers writing in kind of an appraisal gap, you know, in their offers. So if it does come below list price or offer price, we're willing to pay up to $5,000 without even negotiating. If it's more than that, then that difference is still up for negotiation. Who's going to pay it? Is it going to be the buyer? Is it going to be the seller? Are they going to meet in the middle, or are they going to walk?
Where's it going in this market generally?
You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the market overall is starting to be more of a balanced market, probably more of a balanced market than we've seen in the last maybe 3 years, 3-4 years.
So in balance, you mean the appraisal's coming out pretty close to the offer?
Well, just by way of buyer and seller and who has leverage.
They would work with you a little bit more.
Who has leverage, in that conversation. But when it does come to appraisal, the key always, and I know that we come back to this, is having a good agent who talks to you about listing your home at the correct price.
Well, and we aren't seeing, because it's a little bit more of a balanced market, you know, even those hot homes are maybe getting 3-4 offers on them, 5. Yeah. You know, it's not to like, I mean, there was offers, you know, in 2021 or homes that we listed in 2021 that I think one of them we had 21 offers on. So that's driving up that price and that's really affecting the appraisal. We're not seeing that anymore. So I think we are seeing appraisals come in a little, you know, at value.
Realistic.
Yeah, realistic. Because you're not I shouldn't say overpaying, but you aren't overpaying because of the competition on that home. So, you know, appraisals are coming in closer. There's not that big gap anymore, usually.
So it's getting to be a little bit more of a buyer's market then?
Balanced. It's not a buyer's
market. The teeter totter is coming a little bit closer.
It's getting a little bit closer. Okay. I love a balanced market.
Right.
You know, it seems like an even playing field for everybody.
What about as far as, like, I know the big thing for a while, and I always hated doing them because I wasn't real good technically with the contracts. But the bump things where it's like, okay, if somebody gives you an offer for X amount, I'll go 10 more. Are those still popular or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The acceleration clauses?
The term, acceleration clauses.
I've written a couple of them this last week.
Yeah. They still are, especially in those price points that are hot, because it keeps your offer in play a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot. That was the scariest part of real estate. I don't know about you, Jim, but was getting something wrong on a contract. When you did a contract, there's nobody else to like oversee it to see if you missed a thing. And then what could happen if, you know what I mean?
It's the stuff that keeps you up at night.
I remember doing an amendment to somebody one night, and I had to do a big banquet the night before. And this girl had been trying to get a hold of me, but I was doing the auction for the throwing my phone off and everything. Yeah. And then it was too late. So I had to send them by midnight or something, a return amendment. And I was, same thing. I woke up the next morning, and it's like, oh my gosh, that word is wrong.
Yeah.
And I had to call my broker. He goes, well, I think a judge would know the intent for, but I was in a sweat because it was a $6,000 difference. Does my guy have to pay $6,000 more or does he get $6,000?
Right.
By one word.
Yeah.
And if they had pushed it, it could have been hit or miss.
Well, and it's a good thing to bring up too. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like we talk about discount realtors all the time. You know, do you want a discount realtor working on these contracts that are so important, or do you want an expert in the field? So if you're working on the biggest purchase of your life, do you want somebody who's willing to do it because they have no self-confidence in what they're doing and doing it at a lower price than, you know?
Have you seen that thing about, it's one of those things on Facebook or whatever. It's like, I'm only paying 1% for an agent. Okay.
Yeah.
Time for pictures. She's got her cell phone out in the yard.
Yeah.
She's okay, when do you want to go inside? Oh, no, for 1%? No. She handwrites a sign and sticks it in the yard.
Yeah.
Oh, this we get for 1%.
Oh,
I know some of those memes and videos and stuff are so funny.
Or they may have a lower commission, but then charge you for an open house, charge you for the photos, charge you for this, and then all of a sudden it's just, oh my God, I'd better off paying 5%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of those, a lot of those brokerages and things, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but they do have a lot of flat fees, and those are non-refundable. Once they're paid, they're paid.
Right.
And you know, when you're using kind of a full service, real estate agent, everything is really, nothing's paid until closing.
Right.
So we're doing all of that work with no guarantee of a paycheck. And so, but you learn what you you know, you don't know what you don't know, but as you take steps in this business, you realize what you're good at. You realize, you know, how to negotiate, how to work with each individual realtor. I mean, just having the experience of working with other realtors in town is huge. It is. Having that behind you and being able to, you know, go in with confidence knowing that you will get paid at the end because you are going to do a good job.
For somebody thinking about going into real estate.
Yeah.
Because we're at a golf tournament the other day, and a couple of the guys I was talking to, they were school teachers, and they went into it, and it's like, not as much as I thought. Just takes, give me an example of a person who should or shouldn't consider going into real estate.
Yeah, I would say, number one, being a people person, somebody who pays a great degree of attention to detail. Those are the
call
two
that
that's right, John. That's why John and I are in radio now.
I know, it's a good move.
I mean, those are the two key points that come off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would, a pretty saturated market.
When it comes to agents?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I saw something one time. I want to say it was like 10% of the agents do 80% of the business or something? Oh. Isn't there some kind of a weird ratio?
Well, there's an 80-20 rule, I think.
Right. 80-20?
Yeah. With everything. And it probably is true, but honestly.
Okay. But if someone has a great personality and they like people and they want to make some money, there are other industries that I would look at that need people like that. And real estate's a great, great industry. I love it.
When things are going good, it's the most fun thing you'll ever do.
And you make so many people happy in real estate, you know, and boy, if you can get a happy buyer and a happy seller, that's an awesome closing, you know?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, but I didn't really play well with the other children. I've been on 80% of my sales. I was both the listing and the buying realtor.
Sure, sure, sure.
Well, that's just a great double dip.
It was just easier.
It is.
You're not relying on other people.
Sure.
And, anyway. But it's a great industry, and Bay Area, you guys do a great job, and I think people, you're going to stick around. But
Stick around.
I want to talk a little bit more about the industry when we come back.
Sounds good. We're going to take a quick break. Ben and Deanna Malcor in the house. Nina Sparatno, NBC 26, is in the bullpen, standing by. Back after this.
Father, where's his Sunday best?
Hey, welcome back. Mono and the Mayor, along with Ben and Deanna Malcor, Bay Area Realty, Berkshire Hathaway, right downtown Green Bay on Broadway and Walnut. You will not go wrong kicking the tires at your place.
Or kicking the siding or something.
No, but I always hated that, though. When somebody would say, hey, I talked to a friend, they said, you'd be good. And you go there, and then they'd be like, okay, you're going to be one of three we're going to interview. And I just want to say, I don't want to have to sell myself.
You know what? I completely agree, but it is the smart thing to do.
I know.
Yeah.
It is.
So
it's a great career. We started off talking about contingencies, and people are like, well, does that still work? Like, I want to buy a house, but I can't afford two mortgages. Do you still encourage that or not encourage that?
What? It all depends on when you're writing an offer. You know, we like to be in communication with the listing agent as much as possible. And, we tell our sellers as well, listen, if we don't have anything else on the table.
Yeah.
It's still a great offer.
Yeah.
And, as long as it's written with a bump, so you've got that little bit of leeway in there. If you do get another offer in, I mean, obviously you continue to look for secondary offers. And if you get another one in, your original buyers have a specific amount of time that they have to release that bump, which means they have to be, so far along in their process or, willing to just forego it, and...
Let's talk.
That is a bad feeling. I got to be honest. When we built our house and we hadn't sold our house,
it's a little
nerve-wracking. You want to talk about things stress. That keep you awake at night,
right?
Yeah.
Nobody needs that.
Yeah,
I would agree. I We went through that too, but you know, I was more disciplined back then. But I'm just like, we're not even, you know, let's go look at houses. I mean, we're not looking until this is sold.
Sure.
I know the way we do. We go look at a dog, we're going to buy a dog.
Sure.
We go look at a car, sure, we're going to buy a car. So,
yep.
And that you just have to discipline yourself because there's, it's, yeah, oh, this has just got on the market and this, yeah, is perfect, yeah, for you guys. It's like, so, but you, yeah, you still take it with contingencies.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny with the home, I shouldn't say funny, but with the home sale contingencies, a lot of times when you dive into them, which, you know, we always do before, you know, we tell our sellers whether, you know, as we're explaining the offer, a lot of times they're three or four deep.
Yeah, so
it's, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
it gets really,
you
tricky.
You got to do your research.
Yeah.
Definitely get in there and do detective work on it.
Yeah. Okay, we have to ask this every week when you're here, you know, just because it's been so fluid and you said it's, signs are turning back to things a little more, you know, equal between the buyers and the, yep, sellers. Give us advice. Buyer, you're the buyer, you're the seller. You tell me the advice you want to get, you'd give your people right now when they came in. Somebody walks in your doors, two different people come in, I want to buy and I want to sell. What's your advice to them?
Yeah, you know, my advice to any buyer is to, you know, keep an open mind. In particular, especially if they're just starting to look, not only when it comes to the areas that they're looking, but also be very, very flexible when it comes to tendering an offer, because chances are probably still pretty good, even in a balanced market, that, you know, our offer may not get it. We mean it may need to just keep on looking. So be patient, be patient.
Yeah. Can you legally answer questions when they ask about finances? Like, hey, here's how much I make. Here's how much I'm hoping to get. What do you think I can afford versus, can you, is that ethical to,
you mean as the asking the, you know,
the being a buyer's agent where, okay, it's like, you know what I mean? Can you, yeah,
I leave that up to the lender.
Okay.
You know, I leave that up to a lender discussion between them and their lender. You know, the communication is vitally important. So
I think that's on the test, John. That, yeah, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm not a bank. Yeah. And I'm not an accountant. I'm, yeah, your realtor.
But they, yeah, will. And I understand.
Oh, they ask all the time,
but they,
John,
will. Hey, just between you and me. You know
what, right,
I
mean? Right.
Just,
right,
gut,
right,
feeling. No. That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. No. Yep. And, you know, that is where you just, you know, you want to have people that you work closely with. So you have an immediate contact that you can send them. Like, you know, give this person a call.
Because they will ask.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't care what it says on the test. Yeah. They, yeah, will ask.
You know, it's one of those things that it is such a relationship that you build with your clients,
yeah,
that it is amazing what, you know, they feel comfortable telling you,
yep,
where it's a lot easier to tell you because they've built that relationship than a lender that they've never met before.
100% agree.
Yeah.
You know, we have coming up later in the next half hour, I don't know, Stephanie Hummel's coming in. She's from the planning department in Green Bay, and they're holding these planning sessions. And I just hope they bring in some realtors because I think you guys are some of the closest to the flame when it comes,
yeah,
to, you,
oh,
know, and this,
yeah,
is what the city should do. Put a trail, yeah, in here. Put a park, yeah, in this area.
That's a great point.
You know, I, yeah, mean, they need to reach out to the realtors. Now, that Jennifer, yeah, was awesome. I don't know if she's still with you guys. She Jennifer, out of Appleton, she kind of ran the Real Estate Association.
Oh, the RANW.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she always had some good input on this should be, you guys need some multifamily here. You need, yep, some single.
Right.
Is she from Madison?
She's from Appleton, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, she's down in the Appleton area.
And she was just,
I think,
great.
She worked in Madison a lot.
Okay, and she'd come, she did. She, mm-hmm, was kind of a little bit of a lobbyist, but, yep, she would come and sit down in my office and say, look, this is what you guys need to do. And we really weighed that heavily,
yeah,
you know,
right.
On,
yeah,
because I think the realtors
have, she's
very
passionate.
And you guys have a pulse on what, yeah, the community needs.
I think that's a great point. Totally great point.
So, yeah, I hope you go to some of those. She's going to give us the sessions today. I think there's 10 of them coming up, but it's the 15-year plan for the city. And I just hope they reach out to people, you know, like the Melcors and say, look, this, yeah, is, and it's going to have to do with downtown. Do we need more housing downtown,
sure,
or not?
Sure.
Should we renovate?
Well, affordable housing. She's really big on that.
Yes. So I think we just need some input. We can't build a city on affordable housing, though. I mean,
No, we can't. We've got to have a nice mix.
We got a quick question here. Yeah. Todd, can you have the Melcors talk about contingencies for home inspections? I did hear them say they would never say to not get one, but I think the general public nowadays hears that if you want a home inspection, you might not even be considered for buying that house.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, there are times if there's multiple offers on the table, yeah, we explain it very, you know, kind of that exact same way. We would never tell you not to get one,
right,
but know that there may be another offer on the table that does not have an inspection contingency. And it's so unknown. Every house has something wrong with
no
it,
question.
I guarantee you.
Well, and you
except mine. doesn't everybody say that?
Yeah, I know.
I'm always into saying it for me. I was saying everybody says that. Yeah. This house is perfect.
Yep.
You know, there is a way to, if you're going to insert a home inspection contingency into your offer, there is a way to sweeten it and let the seller know that you're not going to be nickel and diming them. And that is just basically stating that anything with a cumulative cost over X dollar amount, or pardon me, under X dollar amount, right, will not be considered a defect. So you can still slip that home inspection contingency in there.
Yep.
So you're covering your butt kind of
thing. Covering your butt for the big things.
And the sellers know you're not going to nickel and dime them.
Right. Then. Especially now.
Yeah.
And you guys are honest, good Green Bay people, and you know you're going to steer them right, but there's so many questions and you've got the answers, and
you're definitely going to get our opinions.
We get them when they walk through the door.
Do we ever.
Ben and Deanna Malcor, Bay Area Realty, Berkshire Hathaway, located right on Broadway and Walnut. You guys are fantastic.
Thanks for having
us. We love having you here, and I've had people comment that it's their favorite segment because of what they learned.
Oh,
that is the honest to God truth.
Yeah. Wow. So, there we go. That's true.
All right. Nina joining us next. Stay with us.
Thank you.